This is the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast. Good morning on the 7th of May, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank. The Hat Podcast is made possible by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online at ffbt.com to learn more. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller join me today. They have the news, including testifying to the challenges in trade for U.S. farmers, and EPA has a draft plan for endangered species. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is calling for drier conditions. Another weather system could change that, though. And the Tuesday corn, bean, and wheat markets worked mostly lower throughout the session. Arlen Suderman has market comments. Coming up on the Hoosier Ag Today Wednesday podcast.
As a farmer, you plant millions of seeds every spring. You know that tomorrow's harvest depends on today's hard work, knowledge, and care. At First Farmers, we recognize that today's seed is tomorrow's success in both farming and finance. If you're looking for a bank that has been committed to agriculture for over 135 years and has the experience to prove it, let's talk. Learn more at ffbt.com or stop by your local branch. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Considering a career in agriculture, Michigan State University's Institute of Agricultural Technology offers in-state tuition rates for students from Indiana and beyond. With programs like Ag Operations, Forest Technology, and Food Processing, MSU IAT prepares career-ready graduates in 2 years. Our certificate programs are designed to launch your students' future in agriculture. Take the first step at iat.msu.edu.
A vow to protect farmers from this rigged trade system, and the EPA releases its final insecticide strategy. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today News.
Hello, this is Grant Hackman, ag lender at Beacon Credit Union, wishing all farmers a safe and successful growing season. Let Beacon serve you with your next real estate, equipment, or operating loan.
USDA Undersecretary for Trade nominee Luke Lindbergh says America has abdicated its leadership role in feeding the world. He told Senate ag lawmakers at his recent confirmation hearing that the U.S. for too long has let other nations rig farm trade against American producers.
Our ethanol producers are no longer competitive in Brazil because of Brazilian import tariffs. Our hog farmers cannot export pork to Brazil, India, Nigeria, Jamaica, Namibia, or Thailand. Mexico has enjoyed a 557% increase in specialty crop imports into the United States in just the last decade. Canada has rigged the USMCA agreement terms against our dairy and wheat farmers.
And one of the biggest offenders in a laundry list of comments submitted to USTR is the European Union.
The European Union is responsible for roughly half of our overall trade deficit, $23.6 billion, and yet it routinely shuts out our products at the altar of non-scientific-based claims.
And then, of course, there's China.
There's really too much to say about China in this opening set of remarks, but a stark comment that stuck out to me came from representatives of American corn farmers who said that U.S. corn growers cannot rely on China as an export market.
Lindbergh vowed a, quote, strategic and targeted approach to assess which markets and commodities are coming up short, putting together a game plan, and then knocking down those trade barriers. The Senate Ag Committee has advanced the nomination of Stephen Vaden to be the next USDA Deputy Secretary to the full Senate this week, in addition to that of Tyler Clarkson to be USDA General Counsel.
When you call Keystone, you're not just making a connection. You're dialing into service, solutions, and success. We're not just here to meet today's needs. We're building for tomorrow, advancing technology, growing opportunities, and driving innovation with the best team in the Midwest. Keystone is more than a business. It's a commitment to our farmer owners, our rural communities, and the future we're all cultivating together. Call the co-op that leads, serves, grows, and embraces the cooperative advantage.
The Environmental Protection Agency has released a draft of its plan to protect endangered species while still allowing farmers the flexibility to use insecticides to protect their crops. C.J. Miller has more.
So the administration has been developing a ESA work plan, which was mandated by court order for EPA to expedite their compliance with the Endangered Species Act in terms of pesticide registration.
And that's John Walt Boatwright with American Farm Bureau Federation. He says that farmers should watch for impacts to pesticides, and pesticide application practices.
It could impact farmers and ranchers as chemistries are being reviewed by EPA. They will pull from this strategy, this document, to potentially apply new mitigation measures to pesticide applications based on their chemistry. The good news is that we won't see these new requirements immediately.
Boatwright says this is an ongoing process.
The next step in the process is for those insecticides moving forward to have the strategy applied to them at the normal length of the process. Another next step to be watching is that we also expect a fungicide and a rodenticide strategy to be finalized.
Several ag groups, including the National Corn Growers Association and American Soybean Association, have applauded the recent efforts of the EPA to ease the burden on America's farmers. I'm CJ Miller.
And I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we check the setup here, we are definitely trying to work a little bit drier. However, a few hiccups, I think, depending on where you're at in the state, in this move to drier conditions. We just got done with a couple of days of very damp conditions, a wraparound backside moisture, pesky, didn't want to go away. It's finally out of here as we get started on your Wednesday. But we also have another weather system trying to exit the central and southern plains, moving across the lower Mississippi River Valley, and it's eventually going to be trying to move along and south of the Ohio Valley, the Ohio River. So this, I think, throws cloud cover into Indiana as we move through the later afternoon and nighttime hours tonight. In southern Indiana, at least, I don't think there's nearly as much threat of cloud cover and precipitation up north, but I'm going to leave the door open to on-again, off-again showers trying to pop up across the southern Indiana, I-70 southward for sure, as we move it through the overnight tonight and into and through most of tomorrow. I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think the moisture is over the top, but what it does do is it once again delays us getting into the fast drying, high evaporation kind of setup that we need to deal with this last round of moisture. So on again, off again showers, southern Indiana through tomorrow, not necessarily today, but tonight through tomorrow, northern Indiana should stay dry. Everybody's dry for Friday, and that kicks off a longer term warm and dry pattern, full sunshine, no major threats of precipitation, high pressure actually coming in across the Great Lakes on Sunday into Monday, so you know it's going to be fully dry here. Get some heat in here for next week as well. That may be enough to trigger a couple of heat-based showers or thunderstorms, but nothing well organized. So again, I say that we're dry from Friday of this week all the way through Thursday into Friday of next week. I think overnight, Friday night into Saturday, that's when we see our next frontal boundary trying to come in from the northwest. Showers and thunderstorms likely there, breaking this longer-term dry pattern. But in my mind, there's no reason for us not to be able to get back to the fields in a large part of the state through a large chunk of next week. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
At Beacon Credit Union, we're not just lenders. We're your trusted partners. We listen, advise, and support your financial success. Whether expanding your farm, upgrading equipment, purchasing real estate, needing operating funds, or refinancing existing debt, we're here for you. Start at beaconcu.org. Insured by ASI, not federally insured, EHO lender.
Attention construction pros. Purple Wave Auction brings quality equipment to your fingertips. Join our bi-weekly online auctions featuring dozers, excavators, loaders, and more. We provide detailed listings, photos, and seller contact info. Inspect online or in person. With our no-reserve policy, every item sells to the highest bidder. Visit purplewave.com today and see why informed builders choose Purple Wave. Transparent processes, real deals, your next great purchase awaits. purplewave.com.
Grains and oil seeds mostly lower, a single exception to that in the corn market. This is Hoosier Ag Today's Tuesday Farm Market Review. I'm Ian DeEubank. The markets are powered by Purple Wave Auction. Purple Wave makes buying and selling used ag equipment easy. For more information, visit purplewave.com. Final numbers from Tuesday trade coming up. First, I checked in at the end of the session with Arlen Suderman for market analysis. Arlen is at StoneX. A relatively flat day in the corn futures market. Soybeans a little lower and wheat works a little higher. Arlen, let's talk about the relationship to the Tuesday market activity and the planting progress update first that came out on Monday.
Well, planting progress showing that corn progress is about 1 point higher than the five-year average. So even with some rains in parts of the Midwest over the past week, we're still maintaining a good pace. Soybeans are well above the five-year average, so we're doing well with soybeans. And the next week to 10 days, depending on where you're at in the Midwest, are going to see wide open planting conditions with temperatures warming up. And then at the end of that period, we start to see showers start to work into the Midwest from the Northwest once again and moving at least into central areas. There's some question whether they'll reach eastern areas. But for those areas that do get those showers, it'll be almost ideal getting the crop in and then getting another drink of water. And so that kind of put a cap on the markets today, weighing on soybeans, weighing on new crop corn contracts. But overall, it was mostly a technical day with corn testing out the lows or the area just above the lows put in for the July contract back in March, and soybeans doing so for the lows that were put in during the month of April.
WASDE is next week, the May World Ag Supply and Demand Estimate Update. And how much is that playing a role already as we see positioning for the report?
I think that's contributing to the weakness in the new crop contracts, particularly for corn, as the expectation is we could see stocks build in this coming year. Soybean stocks could build as well, but that's more likely if we get an above trend yield, whereas corn would just need a trend yield to build supplies. Both remain vulnerable if we have weather problems. Right now, we just don't have any weather problems of significance on the horizon. So I do think the trade is bracing a little bit for a possible bearish numbers from USDA.
The wait continues for something of a positive nature to pop as far as trade news. Still nothing, though.
Yeah, I really didn't get it. Almost got the opposite today. We did see Prime Minister Mark Carney of Canada come to Washington and meet with the president. They held a joint press conference before meeting one-on-one with one another. That really didn't go as the market would have liked. It was kind of a positioning for the negotiation, so to speak, with Mark Carney saying, we're not going to be bought, and with President Trump saying, we don't need you. They both were kind of positioning and trying to show their strength going into their meetings together. So overall, that was negative for the stock market and really didn't give the grains anything to be encouraged about either.
Is there anything else possibly on the horizon trade agreement-wise?
Well, we keep hearing of possible trade agreements, meaning in final stages for India, Japan, and others. But President Trump changed his tone in that press conference today, saying we don't need trade deals. We don't need them. If countries want to trade with and have the American consumers their customer, then we've laid out the requirements. They can agree to them or disagree to them. If they agree, then they can have full access. So that was a little bit different tone from the president, which you can interpret as either the trade agreements aren't going well, or he's saying simply, we've laid out the terms. If you accept our terms, then we could have quickly a whole long list of agreements. If not, then we could be a very short one. So we'll see where that leads now.
And finally, Arlen Suderman, StoneX, with recent losses. Where are we now with the grains and oil seeds in relation to areas of chart support?
Well, if you look at July corn, we saw that the March, back in March, we had a double bottom there just above 450 area. So that's going to be a key to see if it holds. If we go down and test that, we've come close now. That's a triple bottom. Triple bottoms frequently do not hold. It can hold, but that's going to be key. When we look at July soybeans, we've got some modest support right in here at about the 1040 area or so that we probed a little bit, but came back above, seeing if we can hold. That's consistent with the middle and late April lows for the market. Beyond that, then you're looking all the way down well below $10. So the bulls are certainly hoping that can hold.
Arlen Suderman, Market Analysis. Arlen is with StoneX and StoneX.com. On the Hat Tuesday Farm Market Review, a penny and a quarter up on the July corn, 455 and a half. 2 and a half lower, though, for September, 430 and a quarter. These contract down a penny and three quarters at 441 and a quarter. Everything a little down in the bean market with July, 1041 and a quarter, 4 and a quarter off. August, 4.5 cents down, 1035 and three quarters. 3 cents lower, November beans, 1019 and a quarter. And 4 and three quarters up for July wheat, 536 and three quarters. The meat markets mixed. June live cattle up just 2 cents, 213.67. And June lean hogs, 97.57, down $1.42. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Tuesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's most listened to farm network.